Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers.
Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, turning her back, Kira stalked away, feeling his eyes on her back as she moved. When Billy poked his head out from behind the cart, she whacked him in the face with the butt of the blaster. He let out a yelp that might have been satisfying if she wouldn't have been so angry with Isaac. Don't ever touch me again, she said, pleased at how emotionless her voice sounded. Billy looked up as he held his nose, blood running out from his hand and dripping down his arm. On the other hand, maybe it did feel a little good to see the sniveling man bleed. And now, Chapter 27. Adar rolled to his feet and kicked away the turncoat's blaster from where the man's body had fallen. It skidded across the floor until it came to a stop. Why had the weapon worked for the turncoat, but not for him? Adar had pulled the trigger and felt it stop at the point where it should have fired, yet nothing had happened. It had to be the armor. Somehow the weapon was reloaded or reactivated when the turncoat had picked it up. The last moments before Adar had killed the turncoat played again in his mind, his heart still pounding in his chest as he thought it through. The turncoat had not done anything special. All he'd done was pick up the blaster, point, and shoot. Adar thought of the flash of light he'd seen yesterday when a turncoat had picked up a blaster. The same thing might have occurred here, but Adar had been too busy to notice it. The turncoat had even had a smirk on his face as if he knew something Adar did not. That was true, Adar thought. I'm sure he knew a lot of things I don't. He winced, trying to ignore the searing pain on the back of his head from the shot that had almost killed him earlier. He touched it and wasn't surprised to discover that most of his hair there was gone. He had never thought of himself as handsome, so if it never grew back, he would survive. Adar examined the turncoat's wound as he knelt beside the body with his own small blaster pointed at the turncoat's head, just in case. Just like the Hunway corpse he'd looked at earlier, there was a ring of silver metal all around the outside of the wound. It had not moved to cover it up. When he touched the metal, he was surprised it was cool to the touch. That was strange. He would have expected it to at least be warm, as it was right up against the body of the man who had just died. After several more seconds had passed while Adar debated whether it was safe to turn his back on the corpse, he went to the blaster he kicked away from the fallen turncoat. Never hurts to make sure, he thought. He aimed the weapon at the turncoat's chest and fired. The blaster worked, just as the same as it had for the turncoat. He inspected the back of the blaster and the grip. He also examined the turncoat's gauntlets, wondering again if something had happened when the man had picked up the weapon. He wasn't certain what he was looking for, but it seemed the connection would most likely be found where there had been contact between the man and the weapon. That was also where he had seen the flash of light. Blaster fire from outside the ship drew his attention. The hole in the ship's door was still clear, which he found surprising as he remembered how close a blast had come to hitting him just before he'd entered. Perhaps the Hunway or turncoat that had fired at him had seen the turncoat follow after and assumed Adar did not have long to live. Whatever the reason, he was glad for it and would take advantage of it. The blaster fire disappeared when it was engulfed by a roaring sound. That was odd. He was certain that all of the ships had departed. He set down the blaster and pulled out one of the smaller ones. It was easier to maneuver within the compressed space. When he stepped out of the makeshift hole in the door of the ship, he discovered another Hunway ship was descending. This wasn't like all the other ships that had crashed into the city. It was coming straight down, in the same fashion they typically used to leave. Confound it all, he thought. He figured it would take another minute or two for the ship to land, and thought of the large blaster he'd left hanging up on the wall in the command center. Cold, sharp metal touched his skin. Without thinking about it, he stepped back and slapped it away, bringing up the small blaster as he did. He was not surprised to see he was looking at Arrow. The fire from the engines of the descending ship gleamed in Arrow's eyes. A black smudge crossed the lad's face, and his clothing was even dirtier than it had been last time Adar had seen him. The lines around Arrow's eyes plainly gave evidence of an evening spent with little sleep. Melia, he thought, I'm not much better. The whole night passed while I was making a mess of things. Movement came from around the side of the ship as Nir came towards them. Adar could just make out the scowl on the man's lips as he shouted to make himself heard above the roar of the ship. How many times do I need to spare your life before you decide it's a waste of time to try to kill me? Adar studied Arrow. It almost seems that you want me to kill you. Where is Jorad? Arrow asked. Adar had missed it before, but now it was plain as day. The wild look in Arrow's eyes made Adar reconsider his words. When a man got past the point of being able to think rationally, there was not much to be done about it. Nir looked up at the ship and swallowed as he got closer. Adar could almost hear Nir thinking that any sane man would be running the other way. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? He thought. Your son here has lost his wits. Why? Adar asked. So he can kill you instead. You're too blind to see it, but my son spared you. Arrow scowled. I had him at the point of a sword. He was mine. Then why didn't you do it? Adar asked. Why isn't Jorad lying next to Goru's body? She beguiled me, Arrow said. The volume of his shout was lost in a roar of the ship's engines. When the ship touched down, Adar could feel the vibration as it settled onto the ground. Get in here, he said, both of you, or we're all dead. A surprised look crossed Arrow's face, and he looked back just as Nir wrapped his hands around Arrow's arms and forced the sword down. Arrow put up a struggle, but it didn't gain him anything. Was he weak because he was tired, or was Nir just that much stronger? He had one of those infernal weapons aimed at your chest. Nir's yell was also lost in the noise. He ripped Arrow's sword away from him and pushed him forward into the ship. Jorad let you go. Get in. Adar whipped his blaster over to the ship as it landed, trusting Nir to handle his son. The other ship's door wasn't open yet, but several turncoats and a handful of Hunway were coming out to meet it. Nir shoved Arrow towards the door and they both ducked in. A couple of Hunway headed towards Adar's ship. One pointed while the other brought up his blaster. Adar fired off a shot first, but it went high. Confound it, he said, diving inside as a blast collided with the side of the ship. He looked up, expecting to see a hole where the blast had hit, but there was nothing. A smile crossed his face as he got to his feet. He'd forgotten that several of the shots he'd taken at the ship yesterday afternoon had not done any damage. This was an advantage he could use. From Adar's vantage point, he could see where the blast had connected with the ship, and nothing happened to the ship. It was as if the outside wall had just absorbed it. A laugh escaped Adar's lips that drew a glare from Nir as Arrow tripped on the gate and stumbled over. Nir appeared to be on the verge of saying something, but another blast hit the outside of the ship. He muttered something about living on borrowed time. Adar swung back to the hole and fired. This shot went high as well. Hadn't he been thinking earlier that these weapons were easier to use than a sword or a bow and arrow? It now seemed like he couldn't come within 5 feet of the approaching Hunway. He moved back to the safety of the ship's wall and examined the blaster in his hands. While the smaller weapon was easier to maneuver with, it was a great deal more difficult to aim. He had not had this kind of trouble shooting a regular-sized blaster. He fired several more times and did not come any closer to hitting the Hunway. Movement at the base of the tower drew his eyes, and he was surprised to see a large group of Hunway milling around. A cold chill grabbed at his heart. Had they figured out that the tower was what had killed all of their comrades? A blast hit the lip of the hole just above his head and snatched his attention away from the tower. Part of the blast was absorbed, but another part continued into the hold and burned a hole in a small section of the wall. Get back. Adar moved so that he was out of view of the Hunway. They were within a stone's throw of the door. He turned to the others. Hide. Nir snatched up the blaster Adar had been examining earlier and dragged Arrow behind the box. The man had more instincts for self-preservation than did his son. Adar opened his mouth, intending to tell Nir about the button in the front, but stopped at the last moment. The Hunway were too close. After examining the hold, he moved back into an area that was parallel to the hole in the door. He found a nook in the wall that would keep him out of view until the Hunway entered into the ship. The people inside the large box pounded and shouted. With everything else that had been going on, the noise of it had faded from his mind. Even though the box had been put into place by the turncoats or the Hunway, there was a chance that the pair of Hunway heading towards the ship were not aware of what was in it, and it might prove to be a brief distraction. In any event, they should assume that Adar had either hid behind the far side of the box or gone up the ladder. When the first Hunway showed at the door, Adar waited as the large Hunway peeked his head in and looked around. The face shield was flipped up and there were large drops of water running down the invisible protective shield that kept water from touching the creature's face. It must have just started to rain again because it had been dry outside last Adar looked. Adar held his breath and did not yet move fully back into the nook. The Hanwei waited at the door, with his head poking in and the rest of his body outside. He took in the metal box but did not stop to dwell on it. Adar pushed back as the Hanwei looked his way. He counted his heartbeats as sweat dripped down his back, wetting his shirt. During the last day he'd been so wet he had become accustomed to the feeling. When he'd come to earlier, he hadn't even recognized that he was much drier. The sweat had been building up again, and the back of his shirt now clung to his back. He let out a breath as quietly as he could, straining his ears to listen to what was happening. There were heavy footsteps on the floor. He was tempted to look again, but decided against it. He would wait until he heard where the footsteps were going before he made another move. He swapped his blaster to the other hand and wiped his sweaty palm on his pants. When he'd killed the turncoat with his weapon, he had been within striking distance. He wasn't about to take any unnecessary shots. The best thing to do is to close the distance, he thought. If I do that, it won't matter how terrible my aim is with this weapon. He grasped the blaster, wrapping one hand around the back and using the other to stabilize the much shorter barrel. When another set of boots clanked on the grated floor, he assumed that both of the Hanwei were now inside. He wrapped his finger around the trigger and made sure his hand pressed the long button on the back of the weapon. He took a deep breath and released it. When he'd been firing the blaster earlier, he had not even thought about the button. It was a good thing his hand naturally pressed it. It was an oddly intricate design when compared to the size of the Hanwei. Perhaps they had been made for the turncoats. He stepped forward, whipping up his blaster, preparing to fire. One of the Hanwei was several feet away from the nook where Adar had been hiding. He cringed that his hiding place had been discovered so easily, even though he had planned and prepared for this outcome. The Hanwei's blaster was up, but pointed to the side. The monster must have assumed that Adar was hidden more towards the middle of the nook. As Adar fired his weapon, the Hanwei tried to correct the mistake, but a bloody blue hole formed in the beast's considerable chest. The Hanwei did manage to fire a blast. It missed Adar by mere inches. Without flinching, Adar stepped forward and shouldered the screeching Hanwei so that he toppled over to his back. The other Hanwei was gone. Did he even come in? Adar wondered, trying to recall if he'd seen the other Hanwei in the background as he stepped out. He couldn't remember. Having a large 10-foot-tall creature bearing down on him had made it impossible to notice anything else. When he'd heard the noise the boots had been making on the floor, he had assumed they were both here, but he could have been mistaken. If the Hanwei had come inside, there was only one place it could be. So which is it? Is he outside waiting to shoot me, or is he around the corner waiting for me to show my face? He studied the hole in the door and turned his attention to the box, hoping the Hanwei would make a sound to give him some guidance. The dying Hanwei behind him coughed. It almost sounded human, except it was too low. Growling under his breath, Adar guessed the other Hanwei had come in and was in front of the box, up close so that he could hide. It was a pity there had not been time for Adar to show Nir how to use the blaster. That would make what he was about to do a lot easier. Nir, Adar called out. The Hanwei already knew where Adar was. What was the harm in trying to coordinate a distraction? Don't speak, he said. Just listen. One Hanwei is down, but there is another. I think it's between you and me on the other side of this box. I want you to distract it by throwing something. When you do, I'm going to come around the corner and kill it. He paused, keeping his blaster trained on the corner, half expecting the creature to come charging around the bend. When nothing happened, he also checked the hole in the door of the ship. It was still clear. Wherever this creature was, he was keeping his cool. The captives in the box were still banging on it, but the yelling had died down. Just throw it so it hits the far wall, Adar said. He waited, wondering if Nir was going to do as he said. He was on the verge of giving up when he heard a dull sound. When Adar turned the corner, he was so wound up he almost fired off a shot, even though the Hanwei was not there. Cursing, he went to the hole in the door, expecting to see a blaster pointed in his direction. There was nothing there either. He spun around the room, afraid he was missing something. Nir looked out from his hiding spot between the box and the wall. Adar cringed when he spotted his black-tipped Okui dagger on the far side of the hold, figuring that was what Nir had tossed to create a distraction. The weapon better not have been damaged. It would be a sore loss. Adar came around so that he could see near side of the box to confirm the Hanwei was indeed not there. Arrow was there, holding one of the blasters, pale with tears streaming down his face. Why had the captives inside the box quieted down but continued to pound? Adar wondered. They wouldn't have all stopped yelling. He looked at the top of the box just as the Hunway sat up, pointing his blaster down at Arrow. For half a heartbeat, Adar considered letting the Hunway take the shot. It would have been so much easier to just watch his problem with Arrow disappear. "Arrow, move!" Adar yelled, aiming low and yanked on the trigger. The shot ripped through the side of the Hunway and out the other, almost searing the creature in half at the abdomen. Arrow jumped, reminding Adar of a rabbit, and sprung forward. The Hunway's blast burned through the air above where Arrow had been, putting another hole in the ship. Nir spun around as the Hunway toppled over the side and crashed to the floor. The body of the beast fell on top of Adar's sword and his remaining blasters. Arrow hunched over and vomited, "Bleeding Melia, bleeding Melia, bleeding Melia." Nir laid an arm over the back of his son. "It's okay. We're going to be fine." He looked at Adar, his face as pale as Arrow's had been. "How many times am I going to have to thank you for saving his life?" "At least one more." Adar picked up his Okwi dagger and pulled out his sword from under the Hunway. His other daggers were nearby. While he strapped on his sword and put away his daggers, he stared at Nir, silently warning the man not to speak of where he hid the daggers in his boots. Nir cleared his throat and looked away uncomfortably. Afterward, Adar went to the box. The thumping and yelling inside had started up again. He could also make out something else. A baby was crying. He walked around the outside perimeter of the container, wondering if he would have to shoot his way in to this as well. When he walked back to the side of the box that faced the nook, he was glad to find a door. He had not noticed it earlier because his attention had been elsewhere. "Just fighting for my life was all." The door was a crude construction, considering the advanced technology he'd seen on the ship, and was kept in place by several slats of wood that had been slid through metal hooks on either side. When he removed the slats and swung the door open, the first face he saw was that of Helda. Her excitement turned to a scowl, and she took several steps back. Slashes in the roof of the box allowed in light. The container made Adar think of a bullpen. Was that all they were to the Hunway? Cattle? "I'm sorry about before," she said, wringing her considerable hands together like she was trying to strangle somebody. "You were taking too long, and we needed to get out of here." "Are you sure it wasn't because Isaac was out there?" Adar asked, his voice cold as ice. "Figured you'd buy some goodwill by turning me over to him?" "What about Kira? Why'd you knock her out as well? She came to my aid, didn't she?" Adar could tell his guesses weren't so far off by the way Helda paled. His eyes fell upon Lars, who was waddling towards Adar while crying. He didn't make it far because other people stood in his way. A woman picked Lars up. Adar recognized her as one from before, but did not know her name. "It was a madhouse in here without you," Hucky said, ripping free from where Melinda held him with her back to the wall. She looked at Adar with wide eyes, afraid of what he would do next. Was it because she feared he thought she was complicit with Helda, or because he knew the truth about her allegiance to the Kopal and the Hunway? "It's time to get out of here," Adar said. He looked at Helda as he made his way over to Lars and took him from the woman holding the boy. "I'm in a forgiving mood. Cross me again, see what happens."
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.